1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 50. Everybody have it? Okay. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now go down with me to verse 53. And the children of Israel returning from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. Listen to what it said in verse 54. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can, but if not, I will gladly read the verse for you, familiar scripture in John chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 19, verses 16 and 17 says this, Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Golgotha. Golgotha. We want to preach tonight about this subject for just a few moments on salvation at the skull. Salvation at the skull. I won't take credit tonight. I want to give credit where credit is due. A few weeks ago before Easter, I was watching and just slipping through the television broadcast, came across a religious program. And there two gentlemen were talking about communion, about the blood of Christ. And a gentleman made a remark. And from that, the Lord allowed me to do some study and research over Golgotha and over this epic battle of David and Goliath. And tonight, if I tell you right up front that we can relate the epic battle of David and Goliath to Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, or that place of the skull called Gotha, would you believe me? I think you would. And I'm going to show you tonight how we can correlate those two wonderful, great battles. Because if it wasn't for David and Goliath fighting that battle that there one day, we would not know that we can defeat the giants that come in our life. But thank God if it wasn't for that epic battle on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus defeated sin, we would never know the pardon and remission and forgiveness of sin. Three things about this epic battle tonight that I want us to notice. First of all, the test. The test. David faced a personal test before he faced Goliath. We know that when he went to Saul, he said, Thy servant has slew the lion and the bear. I believe God was getting him ready, preparing him for the greater battle that was to come. And do you realize tonight that a lot of things we face in this life, the adversity that Sean preached about so well last night, the adversities, the troubles and trials that we face are only to prepare us for greater battles that we are to face. And David faced this test. And you'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that even Goliath tested the children of Israel. In fact, you'll find that for 40 days, Goliath came out and tested the children of Israel. That number 40 is actually a number of testing. You'll find that Saul, David, and Solomon all reigned for 40 years. The flood was 40 days and 40 nights. Moses lived in Egypt for 40 years. He lived in Midian for 40 years. He also was on a mountain for 40 days. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The spies were in Canaan for 40 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days. Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days. And also Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. The number 40 is a number of testing. And Goliath came out every day and tested the children of Israel. I found from doing some research that Goliath would come out and test them during the Shema. That was the time when the children of Israel would get around and get their prayer shawls and get underneath and then get inside their prayer closet. And they would pray and say, Our Lord is one Lord. Isn't that just like the devil? Just when you're about ready to get spiritual, just when you're about ready to read your Bible, just when you're about ready to pray, that's when the devil shows up and pesters you. And that's all the devil is. He's just a pest. Because he's already a defeated foe. But this is what Goliath did. He would come out every day during the time of their prayer and come and test them. And said, send me out one that I can fight. If I defeat him, then we'll surrender. You surrender us. But if he defeats me, then I'll surrender to you. But he couldn't find one until David came along. But through the test, that David had he remained obedient to the will of God. And just like David had a test there with the lion and the bear before he faced Goliath, Jesus Christ Himself faced a test before He went to the cross of Calvary. And that test was in the Garden of Gethsemane. We call it a Gethsemane experience. But the book of Luke tells us that He agonized so much that He sweated as great drops of blood. In fact, He faced Goliath that day when those sweat fell down as great drops of blood. But thank God, aren't you glad the book of Matthew says, nevertheless, He went a little further. Even though that test came upon His life, He knew there was a greater battle to fight. The battle only started in Gethsemane, but it finished on the cross of Calvary. And I'm thankful tonight that He could have called 10,000 angels, but He said He went a little further, and He died for me and for you. Hallelujah. He could have said, Lord, if it be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But He said, nevertheless, I know what the real task is, and that is the cross. I know I must take the sin of the world. And so He did. He passed the test, thank God, when He said, nevertheless. He chose to suffer. He learned obedience through suffering, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Not only do we see the test, but we see the task. David knew the task that was set before him when he came and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Don't you? I mean, you guys are willing and able to fight. Why aren't you fighting him? And so he went out and he knew the task that was set before him. This great giant called Goliath. Goliath had weapons. In fact, the Bible tells us, and let me read them to you here. The Bible says there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That's about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. He looked like a giant. He was the undisputed, undefeated heavyweight champion of the world. He had 6 weapons, the Bible tells us, the weapon of man, and engraved on his chest was his symbol, his god called Dagon. And when David looked at him, he saw a 9-foot, 9-inch man that was huge. He wasn't no bean pole. He was a huge man. He saw the giant. But he didn't focus on the giant. In fact, you'll find in the scriptures that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he mentioned God 9 times, but only mentioned Goliath 2 times. In fact, he never called Goliath by name. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't even give credit and call him by name. He called him who he was. Don't give the devil any credit and call him by name. Call him what he is. He's a liar. What glory to God. But he didn't focus on the spear. He didn't focus on the shield bearer. He didn't focus on the brass. He didn't focus on the crown. He didn't focus on his height. But he focused on God. Hallelujah. He focused on God. Because he knew. See, the Philistines were known for their iron smiting. They could make weapons. They were professional weapons makers. I know this verse wasn't around whenever David was there, but I believe with all my heart he knew that no weapon formed against him should be able to prosper. He knew that you can throw at me any weapon you have, but thank God nothing. Nothing. You come to me with a sword and with a shield and with a spear. But what did he say? I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Tonight we really don't know. It's hard to fathom how big Goliath was. Now, he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. Now, that's a tall man. But really, do we really know? Well, man running the camera back there, his name's Jeff Miller. He's a preacher at our church. At one time, he had a taxidermy business. He was a great taxidermist. And so we were talking one day about this, and he said, you know what? I could probably make Goliath's skull for you. So he did. Now, don't get scared. This ain't a real skull. Now, we took, this is average. Average height of an adult male, 6 feet, 6 feet, 1 inches, average height. Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches. That means he was 37% larger than the average man. So we took those dimensions, found dimensions of a regular, this is a skull now, not the human head, but the skull. Because some of us have a little bit more feeling than others. So by the law of averages, this is how big Goliath's skull would have been. Hey, Kyle, Caleb, whichever one of you close, come up here. This is Jess Boy, I'll use him. Stand right there in front of Ron, okay? Which one are you? Caleb, okay, they're twins, I can't tell them apart. He would have been about David's height.
Yeah.
Okay? Now I'm 6'1", this is about a 3-foot stage, so if I hold... This is how tall... That's a big giant. Thank you. But he didn't focus. He didn't focus. He said, I don't care how tall you are. You come to me, you say you're going to tear my meat from limb from limb and feed my flesh to the fowls of the air. You come to me with a sword and shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord. This day will I smite thee and take your head from your neck, and I will throw your flesh and the fowls of the air will beat it. He didn't focus on the giant, but he focused on God. Hallelujah. You focus on giants, you stumble. But you focus on God, your giants tumble. Amen. We got a young man and woman at our church. They've been fighting a great battle in the court system over their kids. And in their past, some things have happened, and the mother is a great Christian lady. Her husband's a medical doctor in our church. They just are trying to get custody of her daughters. It's a terrible battle they've had to face. And the other day, they was getting ready to go in court, and we had special prayer for them there at church, didn't we, Cal? We anointed them. And I got an email from them, and they said our court date has to be, it was going to be this week, but our court date was postponed to July because the defendant's or the other party's lawyer was hit in the head with a golf ball. I emailed her back, and I said, I was upset, to be honest with you. I've been playing golf since I was 12 years old. I don't know if anybody ever got hit in the head with a golf ball. I said, that's a bunch of baloney to me. They're just putting you off. But that's my attitude. I wasn't facing that giant. But she emailed me back and said, oh, God just showed me that no matter how big this thing's going to get, if he can knock down the lawyer with a golf ball. Glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah! No matter how big this giant's going to get, it's going to fall! Hallelujah! Why is that family going to conquer? Because they're not focusing on the giants in front of them. They're focusing on God! Hallelujah! And Jesus knew the task that was set before Him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He was despising the shame and sitting down at the right hand of God. He didn't focus on the whip. He didn't focus on the spitting. He didn't focus on the nails. He didn't focus on the spikes. He didn't focus on the heel of Golgotha. He didn't focus on the Via Dolorosa. He didn't focus on the wooden beams. But nobody focused on the will of God, His Father. It didn't matter what it was. He could have said, any time, God come and get me, but He didn't. He stayed true to the task. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. David did not run away from his problem. I also found out that because of Goliath's massive size, he probably would have had a condition that he had no peripheral vision. That means Goliath could only look straight ahead. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I know where I'm going. So David could have went another way around him. He could have attacked him from the side and Goliath would never saw it coming. He could have attacked him from behind and Goliath never would have saw it coming. But he said, boy, you ain't no big deal to me. I'm going to run right at you. Oh, so many of us, our problem is we're running away from our problems. And we're trying to run around the problem. We're trying to run behind the problem instead of running right at Him. How big's your God anyway? There's no Goliath too big, and my God can't conquer. Hallelujah. Jesus said in the garden, is there any other way? If there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. But he knew the greater task ahead of him was the cross of Calvary. And that was the only way. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Thank God. So we see the test and the task, but we'll also see the triumph. The Bible says that David prevailed. Hallelujah. With the stone, with the sling, and with the sword. Why didn't David carry a sword? Well, he didn't have enough room for it, so God allowed Goliath to carry it for him. That's good. He prevailed with the stone, with a sling. Slings were made out of pieces of leather. And with a sword. Then he carried the head. He carried the head of Goliath back to Jerusalem. He went and showed Saul. But what did he do with it? In the Hebrew, the word Goliath of Gath and the word Golgotha is the same word. Oh. Whew. So by all probability, Goliath's head was buried near Calvary. You say, how is that true? How do you know that's just speculation? I'm going to back it up. 1994. You go on the internet. If it's on the internet, it has to be true. I promise. 1994. Archaeologist Dr. Wright was doing the digging near Calvary. And there he found a huge skull with a rock in his forehead. And it said, quote, the head had been severed from the body like with a sword. And he said, undoubtedly, this is Goliath's skull. In fact, I'm staking my reputation and my name on it. You say, Brian, what does that have to do? Why does Goliath's skull being buried at Calvary have to do with anything? David prevailed over Goliath with a sword, with a sling, and with a stone. And when Jesus died on top of Mount Calvary, he was crucified on top of Goliath's skull. And if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that the Bible says the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Hallelujah, glory to God. That means when Jesus died, he bruised the head of Goliath. Hallelujah. Have you got it yet? Hallelujah. He was buried beneath the foot of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he prevailed over Satan with a sword. How did he do it? Matthew chapter 4. In the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days. Then after that fasting, he was hungry. And the Bible says that the devil came to him and tempted him. Three times he said, if you're hungry, if you're God, why don't you tell these stones to turn into bread and you can get something to eat? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And he came back to him a couple more times. You see these temples, you see these kingdoms, I'll give it all to you. And you see this, the kingdoms of the world, I'll give it all to you. But he kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that day he defeated the devil with the sword. You say, how did he do that? Because the Bible says that our word is like a sword, hallelujah. Hallelujah, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder into the joints and the marrow. He defeated him with a sling. He did? Yes, he did. Sling was made out of pieces of leather. And when they took that cat of nine tails and strapped it across his back, pieces of leather,
that were covered in glass and with rocks, and they stripped it down in his back, and out came his bowels and flesh. But thank God, out of that came blood. And the book of Isaiah tells us that by his stripes, glory to God, we are healed. And he gave us victory that day when he was beat with those strips of leather, because we had victory with our healing because of his stripes. And he defeated him with a stone. Mark chapter 16 says, when Mary and the others came to the tomb, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said, who's going to roll the stone away? For it was very great. But when they got there, they saw the stone was rolled away. And two men stood by saying, ye see Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He is risen. Behold the place where they laid him. And thank God he defeated the devil. He gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave. Thank God when he died, yes, I'm thankful he died. But I'm thankful more than ever today that I've got victory, because on that third and appointed morning, he arose. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. An old preacher man on Easter Sunday morning. The preacher was here. He listened to the radio, and the preacher was telling him, he was preaching against the resurrection, and he kept preaching at the radio, you're wrong, you're wrong, he lives, he lives. And he went there that morning on Easter Sunday and preached about the glorious resurrection. That night he came back and preached on the resurrection. And that was just in his mind, and a few days passed. And you know what? I'm going to show this little boy. I'm going to write him a letter. And so between the pen hitting the paper and between him writing that letter, God changed the tone of his attitude. And he began to write the words, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus is today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives! Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And because he triumphed over Satan that day on Calvary and in the wilderness and at that tomb, we have victory today over Satan. You say, we do? Oh, yes, we do. My part's done. But John David's going to tell us how we have victory. Listen to the end of this beautiful psalm, Psalm 91. And God has given us power over Satan. Go ahead, John.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the air that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
121st Psalm. I will lift up mine eyes.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore.
Thank God. Thank God.